Good morning. Oh, isn't it fun? See the little kitties in all their glory? Yeah, it's awesome. Special thanks to Paul and to Nancy and everybody for helping put that together. We've enjoyed, this is our third week of these little vignettes, these mini dramas that we've had to just walk through different aspects of this Christmas story. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the prophets of God, specifically Isaiah, and how Jesus was foretold, how he was prophesied about hundreds of years in advance before he came. And then last week, we looked at Mary and Joseph, the earthly mom and dad of this baby Jesus. And this morning, of course, looking at the lives of some shepherds, some normal guys that were just out working one just dark night, and all of a sudden, just the glory and the light of God shone down into their world and into their day. And I'm hoping, my prayer this morning is that we can see some aspects of life and our lives through the lives and the story of these shepherds. So that's our hope and our prayer. Let's open actually in that vein. Let's open in a little word of prayer and ask God to just be here with us. Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you that you've promised to be here with us. Your word says that when we're gathered, two or more in your name, then you're here. And so we're going to trust that this morning, God, that you, the creator of all of the universe, are here with us. God, just like you were there in that evening a couple thousand years ago, and those shepherds experienced it, you were there as well. And so, Father, I want to just ask now that your words, God, would come forward, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, be moving among us. Lord, may we open up a little bit, maybe consider some things that we haven't considered before, maybe go some places, allow you to get there, Lord, in some areas of our life and our heart. Just may we open up to you, God, this morning, and may you speak powerfully through your word. We love you, Father. We love you a lot. Thanks so much for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke 2. That is the most famous passage of the Christmas story. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew. Luke is right about three quarters of the way through the Bible. It's the third gospel. Otherwise, all of the text, the scriptures, will all be up on the screen, so you can follow along right there. If you're a visitor this morning, glad you're here, and join us right after the service for some fellowship time. Also, in your bulletin, there's a little red piece of paper, and you can keep track on how we're doing through this text, and then also you can take a few notes if you'd like to. But let's look at the lives of these shepherds. Luke 2, let's start in verse 8. The story of the Christmas story starts at 1. Well, we're going to save that for next week, because next week is the big final show, and we're going to focus on something a little different next week. But this week, let's look at these shepherds for a moment. Chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Now this last week, Mary and Joseph had fear. And it's a little odd that this Christmas story, that again we have romanticized and made so nice and neat, is a story that's filled with fear. And these shepherds were no different. This fear seems to be sort of a gut level emotion. And I think if we're honest, we all deal with that emotion of fear. All of us do. We've talked about it extensively over the last couple of months, how fear, which can turn to anxiety, can get any of us. Life will lend itself to be fearful. And I think we can all, if we're honest, and I'll be the first to admit, I can get afraid. I can go there as quick as anybody. So what were these shepherds afraid of? Well, I think the angel, yeah, maybe. The light shining around, yeah, maybe. The glory of the Lord, perhaps. I want to look and focus on this word fear for a moment, because this actually, it took three, the New Testament was written in Greek, and it took three Greek words to describe this one word of fear. And I think if we look into these three words quickly, we're going to get an idea of what these guys were dealing with. Okay, these are the three Greek words to describe the fear that these shepherds were feeling. First one is phobos. It means to be afraid, alarmed, or frightened. And I think if you were in a very dark night, just minding your own business, and an angel in light just like, bam, okay, you'd be afraid too. You got a little afraid right there. I saw a couple of you jump. But picture yourself in the middle of the night, you're sleeping. in your bedroom, and it's very dark, and it's very quiet, and all of a sudden there is a loud noise somewhere else in the house. You ever had that happen? Yeah, you're filled with fear. That's this type of fear, this phobos fear. It's just a shock. It's a surprise. Second fear that these shepherds are feeling is phobeo. It's a related word. It means frightened, alarmed, but now look at the difference. To be in awe or reverence of. Why did that happen? They experienced not only the shock of light, but what is referred to as the glory of the Lord. God's glory and His holiness came right down into their very presence that night. That is a combination fear. That is a fear not only from the shock, but of the very holiness of God Himself, because His glory showed up that night. Now, the third word is kind of a fun one. It's the word megas. We get our word mega. So it's not just that they had a little bit of this fear, they had mega fear. Mega, big time fear in all of these. I looked in all of the rest of Scripture, and there's no other account in all of God's Word where these three types of fear were combined together. This was a unique fear that had overtaken these shepherds because they were shocked, but they were also face to face with the glory of the Lord. Now, did this glory of the Lord ever cause anyone else in Scripture to be afraid? Do we have any other accounts? Listen to just a couple of these accounts that I was thinking of. If you remember the children of Israel and Mount Sinai, when Moses went up into the mountain to receive the commandments and to receive the law of the Lord, and there was a cloud around this mountain, and it looked like a consuming fire, and it said the Israelites were literally trembling with fear at this mountain because of the glory of the Lord had come onto that place. Ezekiel was the prophet who saw more of the visions of the temple of God than any other prophet. And it said when he saw the glory of the Lord in a temple, just in a vision, he fell down straight onto his face. If you remember the Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul, when he was met on the road to Damascus and a bright light shone down and just hit him right there, and that was Jesus. And it said he fell down and he couldn't see any longer. This glory of God. And then finally in the book of Revelation, where John, we've been studying this on Wednesday nights, where John got a revealed look of the full disclosure of Christ, the first time that he saw it said he fell down as though he was dead. Now God's glory in its fullness and the holiness of God, which we don't think about a lot, but these shepherds experienced it. And I believe that if any of us in this room, any of us were face to face with the glory and the holiness of God, we'd all be shaken. We would all be trembling because God is holy and glorious beyond anything that we can imagine. And we would be filled with a holy, reverent, spiritual fear. Now, that's not a bad thing. When God's light invades and shoots down into our darkness, it's shocking. All of us can get very comfortable in the dark. And I think sometimes there are certain areas of our lives that we like to leave in the dark. We don't like to go there. And maybe spiritually you feel like there's just this fog of darkness. Well, God's light and His glory and His holiness wants to invade that darkness. And He wants to do that this morning, I believe, for me. I think He wants to do it for all of us. So the question becomes, has I allowed God's light to shine into my darkness? Have I accepted that light shining in deep? Have I seen it? Listen to how John 1:5 puts it. John speaking of this light that would come into the world, speaking of Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light always triumphs over darkness. Amen? That is on a real physical level, and that is on a spiritual level as well. Light always prevails over darkness. But for those shepherds, that was a fearful night. Let's look at the second text here. I broke this down into five sections. Let's look at the second one, verse 10 of Luke 2. This is the ironic good news. The angel said to them, "Fear not." I want to stop for a moment. Look at those two words for a minute. Fear not. Fear not, do not be afraid, or do not fear are used over 100 times in the Bible. 100 times God tells us, don't be afraid. I think He's serious.
What would a life without fear look like? I'm not talking the shock fear when something just surprises you. I'm talking that spiritual fear that only comes on us because of the glory of God. Could we in Christ live without fear? Let's keep going. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Remember what joy, we define joy as? Calm delight. Calm delight. The good news of Jesus brings joy from fear. How many of us could use a little calm delight today or this Christmas? Calm delight. That's what the good news gives. An internal sense of it is okay in here. Remember the old hymn, "It is well with my soul"? He's speaking of calm delight deep in here. No matter what life has to offer, deep, I can experience. Okay, let's keep going. And this is not just joy, it's great joy. This is big time calm delight. Amen? Yeah, that sounds pretty good. That will be for all people. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is made available to everyone. Not everyone will receive it, but it is available to the entire world for all people. Now verse 11. So we're going to focus on. He's going to share the reason why we can have calm delight. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three words. We're going to look at those. Savior, Christ, and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Look at verses 11 and 12. There's four words that describe Jesus. If you are void of calm delight this morning, if you're void of joy, these four words can give you, I believe, joy. Four words that describe Jesus in this. First one is Savior. Savior. That is the word soter. It means a deliverer, healer, protector, preserver. This is on a deep spiritual level. Has Jesus become your Savior? Second word is Christ. That's the word Christos, which means Messiah. He was the expected redeemer of the children of Israel. That's what they were expecting, was a Messiah, a Christ. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. The word Kurios, it means supreme in authority and control. He is God. Have I allowed Jesus to become my spiritual authority or control? Or am I my own spiritual authority and control? Now, this fourth one is the one that puts the twist in this whole thing. He is Savior, He is Christ, He is Lord, He is baby. Baby, newborn, innocent, frail, vulnerable, weak, fragile man. Here's the irony. This Savior, this deliverer, this healer, this protector, this preserver, this Messiah, this supreme authority is a baby. This normal, this common, this human little baby boy is abnormal, uncommon, divine little baby boy. This Jesus, who is above all in every single way, has placed himself below all in every single way. This ultimate authority in all creation will now be raised under human authority within creation. This Jesus, who will deliver his people, has now just been delivered by one of his people. This Jesus who will spiritually protect you is at this moment needing protection. This everything became nothing. This God became man. Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord, who became a tiny little innocent baby boy. That's the irony. I will tell you right now, this irony is one of the things that confirms the gospel truth to me. Because if I was writing a story, I wouldn't write it like that. If I was writing a story to redeem all of mankind, I wouldn't write, "Savior Christ, Lord, baby." Nobody would. Many religions and stories have copied this line. But Jesus is the original. Amen? He is the original story of God becoming man to save mankind. He's the original. That is the ironic good news, that God would become man for the sake of man. So what did this obvious declaration, let's go to the next section here, of ironic good news, what did it cause? Verse 13 and 14, this is an explosion of praise. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. That word suddenly means it came on like this, unexpected. Multitude means it's a large throng. Heavenly host means that it's a company of spiritual beings. Listen to what happened to the shepherds that night. Think of yourself here. In an instant, the shepherds' entire vision was filled with a spiritual army of angels spreading across that dark evening sky. In an instant of time, everything that they could see was a heavenly host that filled the skies that was bringing glory to God. That's mega fear. That's big time. Their entire world changed in a second of time. Now, you may sit here and say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if that really happened. That's a fair thing to say. But these shepherds saw something. They saw something that changed their world, this heavenly host stretched across the sky in the middle of a dark night. I don't know of anywhere in Scripture, anywhere in all of history, where an earthly explosion of heavenly praise had happened like this. I don't know of any time that I've read or heard about like this. One angel delivering this message just wasn't enough. This was too big. This heavenly army of angels, they couldn't stop themselves. It was an explosion of praise. It was as if when those words came out that Savior, Christ, Lord, becomes baby, all of heaven opened up and couldn't stop. It opened up the very window of heaven, and these angels and this army spread across the sky and started bringing glory to God, because it was just too good a news to have one angel deliver. So what did the shepherds do with this? Let's go to our next section. What did their mission become? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened and which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. Means they went quickly, diligently. They went real fast. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. These shepherds were chosen to experience this beautiful good news. But now they had a choice. Imagine yourself as a shepherd. You just saw heaven open up. You just saw an angel, an army of angels spreading across the sky saying, Savior, Christ, Lord, becomes baby. That's what you just saw. That's what you just experienced. Anybody else who didn't, now we've all heard this, so we think, oh yeah, that's just great. And yeah, those... Anybody who didn't experience this would think if you told them that you're crazy. That is crazy news. You're saying heaven opened up, angels came down and filled up the sky, and it was so bright. That is crazy news. These shepherds had a choice now to make. They had a choice. They could either go and tell, or they could keep their mouth shut. These ambassadors chose to go and to tell with this news that to so many would appear to be crazy. These shepherds became the very first ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The very first ambassadors to go take this good news and start telling it. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, aren't we? And we have a choice, because to some people, this news that we share about Jesus may appear to them to be crazy. This news may appear to be so far-fetched. And like those shepherds had a choice to share this good news, we have a choice to share this good news or just say, you know what, maybe I don't know. We have a choice. We can be ambassadors for Jesus like those first shepherds were. So what did other people think? What is the reaction to this good news? The wonder of Jesus. This is our next section, our final one, verse 18 to 20. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. We see three different reactions to the good news in these three verses. Every one of us who's here this morning will have one of these three reactions to the good news. No matter where you're at, and I'm not making any claims on where you're at this morning, but no matter where each of us are at individually, we will react in one of these three ways. Let's look at verse 18 first. Verse 18, "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." Everyone wondered. Everyone wondered. That word wondered is a very positive word. You ever asked any of these questions to yourself? Boy, I wonder if that story is true. I wonder if that whole thing about those angels and those shepherds, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if I could have that joy that one angel came to bring. I wonder if I could have joy deep in here. I wonder if I could have peace. Peace like a river. I wonder if I could experience hope so that I know that I know that I'm going to be with him one day. I wonder. Everyone wondered. I wonder if that story really impacts my life, or I wonder if that guy's just talking up there. I wonder if that story could impact and change me and the hurts and the hopes that I have today. You know, I got real stuff that I'm struggling with. I'm going to be honest with you. We all do, don't we? We all have stuff that we deal with. I wonder if that could really change or meet me there, that hope and that joy. I wonder if I could know Jesus. Everyone wondered. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. What did Mary do? Mary connected. Mary connected. To treasure something means you guard it, you keep it close, or you hold it tight. Here's what Mary said, and this is key. Mary said, that's not just a story, that's my story. That's not just good news, that's my good news. That's not just Jesus, that's my Jesus. Oh, there's a difference. Mary took this story, this good news, and she made it her own. She connected. She took it and she grabbed it and she held it and she said, that's my Jesus. That's not just the story of Jesus, that's mine. And then it says she pondered it, and that means to mull it over in her mind. And so she let that just ruminate and marinate up top, and she just thought about it. She treasured it, and then she pondered it. Mary made an abiding connection in her soul that this is not just a great news story of Jesus, this is my story of Jesus. Oh, that's good. That's peace. That's joy. What did these shepherds do? Read verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds returned, but they returned different. These shepherds were not the same. They returned. They went back out, as far as we know, to being shepherds, taking care of sheep. But they were not the same shepherds. They returned back to life as normal on Monday morning. I don't know if this happened on Sunday. They went right back to shepherd and sheep on Monday morning, but they were different. They were not the same people. They returned, but they were different. How were they different? Their fear of the glory of God turned into a joy in glorifying God. That fear that they had of God's holiness and all that he is turned into a joy and glory and praise of God. They returned, but they weren't the same. So where am I at in this process this morning? Some questions. Have I seen and heard and known the wonder of Jesus? Am I in awe of him still? Or perhaps I'm just wondering about this story. Perhaps I'm thinking, boy, I don't know. Am I in wonder? And I am, or maybe am I like Mary? Am I treasuring and pondering this in my heart? Or has something else become the treasure of my heart? Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, a lot of things can take that place of heart treasure, can't it? Am I treasuring this thing? Am I holding it? Have I made this story mine, my own? Am I pondering this old story of Jesus in a new way? Or am I convinced I've heard that story before? Have I heard the Christmas story? Or am I experiencing it new this year? Am I ready to return like the shepherds did? Am I ready to return tomorrow? We all go back to life as normal tomorrow. I don't know what your life as normal is, but we all go back to life as normal tomorrow. Are you going to return normal, or are you going to return different? Because you've seen and experienced the very glory of God through the story of these shepherds. We can experience God's glory every single day. Jesus opened up the very holiness of God to us when he died on the cross. When we put our trust in him, the holiest of holies is opened up, and we can experience that glory and that holiness every day. So are we really going to return the same, or are we going to return different? Can my life be filled with the praise and glory of God? Oh, that our outlook this week would be characterized by praise and glory of Jesus. We got a busy week coming up, all of us do. Christmas is a week away. But could we have our outlook this week leading up to the celebration, the remembrance of the very birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, could this week be filled with the glory and the praise of Jesus himself? And that our minds and hearts would be filled with the treasure, and that our lives would be filled with an intense desire just to worship, because he's holy and because he's good. These shepherds, they were normal, they were ordinary, regular guys who encountered the glory of God in the person of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, God, we thank you for this amazing account of these men, Father, who I don't think they were expecting what they got that night. Lord, you showed up and showed your glory and your holiness in this army of angels that spread across the sky that these shepherds saw. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that that good news of the gospel is for all people, Lord, and that that can bring joy into our lives. I pray, Father, that whatever is causing us to be afraid this day, and Lord, there's something in each of our hearts, I pray that we could experience you so that we could experience a life without fear. Father, we love you. Thank you. Be with us this week in Jesus' name. Amen.